By the time David was done with Brian, Brian had broken ribs and staples, keeping him together. But he was thankful for it, because David's a surgeon, and Brian needed open-heart surgery. And you have to break the ribs. When you're done, you staple the guy back together. Amy was 25, still didn't have her driver's license, didn't have any friends, didn't go to prom. But when she stood there on the Olympic podium, it didn't matter to her. We endure all kinds of things when the goal is worth it to us. Hours in a car to go see Crater Lake. Or maybe not very many miles, but hours in the car because of traffic to go see Girl Creek. Subjecting yourself to chiropractors and surgeons and what have you to get rid of pain. We do it all the time. We understand that there are things that are trying, difficult, negative. Normally you'd avoid them. But because of what you're going to gain, then you endure it with a different perspective. That is also true in God's economy. He afflicts his people for their good. Even though affliction is not a good thing in and of itself, he does it that his people would know something far greater than if they had avoided the affliction. I was reading Psalm 119 a couple weeks ago. If you want to turn there, just going to look at two verses. Verse 67 and 71. Psalm 119, most of you know, is the longest psalm. I forget how many verses are. I have to look every time. 176 verses. The paragraphs before you are broken down according to the Hebrew alphabet. We are in Tath, verses 65 to 72. The whole psalm has a theme running through it, and the theme has to do with God's word, the value of it, the sweetness of it. It's also filled with prayers that God would grant the ability to, in essence, understand and know God in His Word, to behold the beauty and wonder that is there in His Word. In this particular paragraph, this, you can't really call it a paragraph because it's set up like poetry, but this, in this section, there is a little bit of a theme that comes out, a sub-theme, in verse 66 and 71. Verse 66 says, verse 67 and 71. Verse 67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. So the affliction was a good thing because it brought the psalmist, and it can bring God's people to a much better place, one where they are obeying God, walking in His path instead of going astray. And verse 71 makes the implication there in 67 very clear. It is good for me that I was afflicted. Now, who says that? Well, Brian would after his open heart surgery. The things, so to speak, that Olympic athletes inflict upon themselves to try and win the gold, they would say that. But what about affliction? Where you don't have a choice and it comes your way. For the Christian, for God's children, it is a good thing. It is there to turn us all the more to Him, or to turn us back to Him if we're going astray. It is good for me that I was afflicted, verse 71, that I might learn your statutes. In both of those, 67 and 71, you see what happens after the affliction. There is a turning to God's Word, which to turn to God's Word is to turn to God Himself. And is there really anything greater, more valuable than that? Anything more precious or more lasting than to know the only true God, to trust Him and to walk in His ways? And of course, sitting here right now in the air conditioning with food in our belly, we'd say, no, of course not. But then affliction hits. Trials happen. Traffic happens. Pains happen. Loss happens. Grievances happen. And we say, why me? Why is this happening? Well, I have your answer, my answer, our answer, if you're a Christian. It's to turn you to God, to hang on His every word, to trust Him at His word. I'm going to read the whole section here. You have dealt well with your servant, verse 65. Really? I thought he was afflicted. Ah, yes, but affliction in the hand of God is a good thing for His people. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. The law of your mouth. Law, precept, commandments, these are all words that refer to God's word. God's word, that which proceeds from His mouth, is better than thousands of gold and silver pieces. There are no such thing as magic lamps or genies, but if there was and you found one and you got one wish, what would it be? Well, the smart person says an endless supply of money. Because if you have money, what can't you have? Well, actually, you can't keep yourself alive, you can't keep yourself from hell, and you can't buy a relationship with God. So there's a lot you can't have. But that's where we go, money. If I could just have money, then I could have or do or whatever, or whatever. But in reality, all the riches in the world, all the riches in the world are lesser, are insignificant, are nothing. They're bitter compared to the sweetness of knowing God and having His Word and walking according to it. And again, we would agree with that, sitting here in the air conditioning with food in our bellies. Minimal pain, I'm assuming, though there is pain in the room, I'm sure. I got some. But when it really hits, the pain, the affliction, the trials, however small or great in your eyes or other people's eyes, whatever the affliction might be, if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, who was afflicted, suffered on the cross for a very good thing, to cleanse the people for Himself, to save us from hell, to glorify the Father, if you know the only true God in Jesus Christ, then there's nothing better than that. And affliction is a tool, an instrument in the hand of God in turning His children back to Him or to more fully trust Him. So the question is, what is most valuable to us? What is it we care about more than anything else? What is it we're willing to even suffer or sacrifice in order to have? if it's God, thanks be to God that we don't actually have to earn that or gain that. Christ did it for us. And when we suffer, when there's affliction, when there's trials, whatever it might be, we can turn to God's Word and see that even in His Word, He says, it's for a purpose, a great purpose. We can say it's good that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The other question is then, when you are afflicted, when you're having trials, difficulties, whatever affliction that it may be, where do you turn? Where do you go? Where do you run? Is it to some form of pleasure that's only in this life? Whether it be a hobby or a relationship or a food or anything like that. Or just venting your anger and throwing the tool across the room or whatever it might be. Or crying yourself to sleep in a pillow. Or do you go to God's Word? Do you go there? Now there's no promise that you go there and you're immediately comforted. There's no promise of that. Notice the tense. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The perspective comes more so after the affliction versus in it. But that's where we're to go as His children. Right to His Word, right to Him. And though in the midst of it we might say, it's good that I am afflicted. It's good that I am being afflicted. It's good that I'm in the midst of affliction. We might not really say that in the time. But afterwards. Afterwards we can say, it's good that I was afflicted. The real issue, the application, what I'm getting at here is to call you to God's Word. Specifically when you don't feel like it. When you're afflicted, frustrated, hurt, angry, sick, ailing, whatever it may be, go to His Word and keep going to His Word. Man does not live by bread alone. I referenced that this morning, I believe, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I cannot imagine 40 days in the desert without food. Jesus was. And when tempted to make bread from rocks, that was His response. Man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's the only source of life. God, what proceeds from His mouth. Everything else, it's like eating styrofoam packing peanuts. Nothing. The verse particularly stuck out for me, and it's easy for me to remember because the year I was born, 71, a lot of verses in Psalm 119, because I've had a form, I'm still facing a form of affliction. The loss of my dad, so hard, so difficult, hit me like I did not expect, and it keeps hitting me. Even though it seemed like he was dying for years, I went back for his open heart surgery, couple of years ago, can't believe they put an 86-year-old man through that, that he went through it, that he agreed to it, but maybe it was when he was 85, but he had got a couple more years. And then his last year, back in and out of the hospital, you know it's coming. 88, ultimately, when he died. Heard the gospel from me multiple times. But then it happened, and it was over, and I've been encouraged that I'm not some wimpy little schoolgirl, because I was talking to another brother in Christ recently, another pastor, who said he would be walking with his wife and all of a sudden the wave of grief for the loss of his dad would overwhelm him, and he's like up against the wall crying. And so I read that verse last week or whenever it was, and see, do I have that perspective on the grief that I faced and I keep facing, though it's getting less, unexpectedly, out of the blue? Do I have that perspective on that? And when I read it, I didn't. No, you're right, I didn't. And I struggle with having the perspective on that. So what do we do? What do I do? I just keep going to His Word anyway. And trust that He is good. That He does good, verse 68. And that sooner or later, by His grace, I will have that perspective. Maybe in the midst of the trial, affliction, but after. And most definitely when I see Him face to face. Right, we just sang a song with those words in that. Absolutely right. And what a constant reminder we need to put before ourselves in song and speaking to one another. When we see our Maker, our Savior face to face, we can say, we'll be able to say then, like Paul said when he was still alive, our light and momentary afflictions. But the only way to get that perspective is from God's Word. And so go there. Go there. Go there. Especially when you don't feel like it. And when you want to say, why me? And get angry and frustrated. Go there. And hang on His every word. And trust that He is indeed good and does good. And if you're His child, you know that better than anyone else because He afflicted His one and only Son. Isaiah 53, it was the will of the Father to crush Him. Hebrews 12, for the joy set before Him, He endured because there was good that God was intending would bring, has brought out of that affliction. And He does the same for His children. You may be thinking of Romans 8, 29, somewhere around there. He works all things together for the good of those who love Him. In what? In conforming them to the likeness of Christ. We can trust Him that He is good. We can trust Him at His Word. Thank Him that we have His Word, our own copy to turn to. In the midst of affliction, even though we won't necessarily have that perspective in the midst of it. But then afterwards, we might look back, like the psalmist says, and say, it is good that I was afflicted. It is good. God has turned me back to Himself, or more fully to Himself, and knowing God and the words that proceed from His mouth are better than all the riches I could ever accumulate in this life. Join me in prayer. Father, You are good. You are more than good. We've abused so many words, it's hard to even find words. You are awesome, magnificent. There is none like You. Your beauty is a beauty beyond even that of the most intricate or delicate flower or wildlife or crater lake or anything else. There is none like You. You are worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. And the complete and utter trust. And who You are does not depend upon us or our response to You. But thank You that You are patient with us. Gentle. Leading us, carrying us, even afflicting us, that we would turn to You and trust You. And that, far greater than the Olympic athlete or the person who had successful open heart surgery, that is something that we will not regret on the day that we see You face to face. By Your grace, Father, may we not regret it now. May we not cry out, may I not cry out, why me? In either anger and frustration or even sadness and grief and wallowing. As we sang this morning, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. Father, thank you for each one of these here tonight. May your grace be upon each one and on all of us to trust you. In the times of plenty and pleasure, as well as in the times of pain and affliction. And may we praise you through it and even because of it all, knowing that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.